from the Star Rentals Sports Desk. Your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines here on a Friday afternoon live from the Emerald Queen Casino, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Stupidity.
You're looking for tickets for Russell Wilson, the Broncos against the Seahawks in week number one, are you? Well, VenueKings.com can get you in the door right now for under $300. Keep an eye on those. Prices will drop, and they are dropping. Mariners starting their road trip tonight with three at the Mets in Flushing. They made eight moves today. In the interest of time, I will not go over all of them. I will give you the highlights. Jared Kelnick, Dick Fain's favorite player, sent down to AAA Tacoma for the second time in his career. Steven Souza Jr. has been called up, and recently acquired Mike Ford has reported to the big league club.
NBA, Luka, 33-11. Mavs blew out the Suns to force a Game 7, and the Heat headed to the Eastern Conference Finals, a 9-point win over the Sixers in Game 6. Here's a Stats Are for Losers for you. A little preview. Do you realize that James Harden scored as many points in the second half for Philadelphia as Ben Simmons did last night?
Well, Ben Simmons doesn't play for Philadelphia,
That's exactly right.
That'd be zero. Wow, geez, man. Just driving a stake right through Shockey's heart. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry is set to sign with the New Orleans Saints. They announced they've also signed first-round draft pick Chris Olave, and the Raiders are trading wide receiver Braylon Edwards in a seventh-rounder to Atlanta for a fifth-round pick.
Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy released on bond. His attorney says the judge has stated there was not probable cause to believe there was a threat or use of any physical force.
And NHL playoffs resume tonight. Eastern Conference first round, two game sixes. The Penguins look to close out the Rangers, and the Panthers look to close out the Capitals in game six in the West. Calgary also trying to do the same in game six to Dallas tonight.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, here we go. Busy Friday afternoon live from the happiest place on earth, baby. The Emerald Queen Casino. You can't be happy here at the Emerald Queen. I have no idea how you'll ever be happy to begin with. You got the gambling. You got the sports book. You got the bar. You got the food. You got the entertainment. You got us here at the Emerald Queen Casino here in Tacoma. What the hell more do you want? So if you can get off work early, tell your boss to kiss off and come on down here and hang out with us at the Emerald Queen Casino until 7 o'clock tonight. Maybe we can talk to Kelly Lopez here, Dick, the sportsbook director, and ask her, hey, can you put odds on the wall there on how long it'll be until Jared Kelnick gets back in a Mariner Major League uniform? And I think I just smell a contest, by the way. I smell a contest right off the top of my head because that's what we do here. We are idea people. And we just came up with a hell of an idea. Why don't you text us right now to 49451? How long will it be until Jared Kelnick is back on the major league roster? Maybe you think it'll be next year. Maybe he spends the entire year, rest of the year, in AAA. Maybe he'll bring him up when they expand the rosters in September. So they sent him down today. That's the big news from the M. Steven Souza Jr. has been called up. Mike Ford is going to join the big league club. They've also claimed pitcher Adrian Sampson, who I think he used to play for the Mariners, right?
Yes, he
is a BCC guy, if I'm not mistaken, from the Cubs. But again, the big news, not to be lost in the shuffle, Jared Kelnick is going back down to the farm to work on his swing, and we'll see how long it takes. I mean, look, he might be there the entire year. He might be there for a month. I don't know what the M's are looking for before they bring him back up, but clearly this guy needs a cleansing mentally and needs to figure things out before he can be counted upon at this level of baseball. So not surprised they did it before the Mets series, Dick, either, by the way, because if they put Jared Kelnick at Citi Field in Flushing, New York, and they flash his 140 average up there on the Jumbotron, those fans are killing him in that stadium. And who knows how he would respond. He may go nuts and try to go in the stands after somebody for all we know.
They'd be like piranhas. There's no question about that. I did learn something, though, in the crosstalk segment with Jerry Brewer.
All right.
I learned that I am actually higher on Jared Kelenic's future than you are.
Yeah, what do you think he's going to turn into?
Well,
let me just tell you, because Jerry asked what I think Jared Kelnick's going to be.
Yes.
And I just think, and it's not even really anything on Kelnick, it's just the odds say that at best he'll be a major leaguer with a nice 7-8 year career, and he'll be maybe a bench player. Maybe he'll play 9,500 games for you, start 35 or 40. I mean, do the odds say he's going to be a star? Do the odds say he's going to be an all-star? Do the odds say he's going to be a guy that you can count on to carry the middle of the lineup? So the odds don't really say that. And I don't know. I mean, maybe you do have more confidence in him than I do.
Well, I would say, was he not the – is he the sixth pick in the draft? Is that what he was?
I have no idea.
Number's kind of sticking up in my mind. I would just think – I'd have to go back and look. But I would imagine that most picks that are that high, most picks that are – consensus, you know, where did Baseball America have him? When, you know, like a year and a half ago when he was absolute at his absolute height of minor league stardom. Yeah. I mean, they had him like in the top 20 in baseball, did they not? As far as potential prospects. And I would guess those type of players I would certainly expect more than just a career bench player out of those type of guys. Like, you're right. I don't expect, and I've never expected, all-star, perennial 30 home run, 100 RBI guy hitting 285. Never expected that, but, I mean, I guess I would expect a starting player for a decade in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where he's drafted, to me, I don't even... It's irrelevant. I mean, I think the baseball draft is such a crapshoot, right, compared to the NFL draft. I mean, a top 15, top 20 pick in the NFL draft to me is totally different than a top 10, top 20 pick in the baseball draft. And I don't have any numbers to back any of this stuff up, but look, I mean, obviously on draft day, the Mets thought he was going to be a star. There's no question about it. When the Mariners traded for him, for Robbie Cano on that day, they thought he was going to be a star. But I don't know if where he was drafted really means a hill of beans at this point, right? I mean, he's 22 years old, and he hasn't really done much at the major league level so far. I mean, this is a guy that in 123 games has 142 strikeouts and 36 and 30 this year and 96 plate appearances this year. So, I mean, look, he hasn't put together a gigantic sample of major league data, but it's not little either. He's had almost a full year in baseball collectively, so where he was drafted, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's just I hadn't even thought of that, to be honest with you.
I think maybe you're putting too much emphasis on the where he was drafted part and not enough emphasis on the other part of what I just said, which was the fact that he was a top 20 prospect in baseball across the board.
Okay. Well,
just because you're drafted sixth, and he was drafted sixth, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean you're ever going to be seen as a top 20 prospect in minor league baseball. You have to earn that over what you do over the first couple years when you're a minor league player, and he did that. He ascended to top 20 status in Baseball America and all those publications, Baseball Prospectus. So I would expect something more from a guy like that than just being, because you're basically saying he's going to be Dustin Ackley. Dustin Ackley played 7 years in Major League Baseball.
Could be, yeah.
And basically was a part-time starter in all but two of those seasons where he was a full-time starter.
Well, but again, the same thing with the prospects list. I'm looking at like the 2010 prospects list going back 12 years ago, and there's a bunch of big names on here. Giancarlo Stanton, Steven Strasburg, Jason Hayward, Buster Posey, Justin Smoke, Madison Bumgarner. Dustin Ackley's on that list. And there's a bunch of names I never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are bums, right? I mean, there are guys on the top 20 prospect list that don't do jack squat in baseball. So, again, what is the hit rate and what are we looking for? Are we looking for an all-star? Are we looking for a guy who's going to start on average 140 games a year for 7 or 8 seasons? I mean, whatever you want that to be is fine. But whether he was a high draft pick or at one point was a top 15, top 20 prospect in Major League Baseball, I don't really know what that really means. I mean, again, you know, he's not that now, right? And he's nowhere near that guy. And there's plenty of busts on those lists. I mean, go back and look at any prospect list from 2010, 11, yep. 12, and you tell me if there's 7 or 8 names on that list that you never even heard of in your life. I mean, I'm looking at a bunch of guys right now. Brian Matus. I don't even know who the hell that is.
He's the top 20 guys you're reading off?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean...
You have the list in front of you. I got 2018.
I have no idea who they are.
I got 2018. You got 2010 in front of you. Right. How many would you say of those 20 at least had starting caliber careers in Major League?
I have no idea, because a bunch of these guys I've never heard of. I mean, there's 4 or 5 guys on this list I've never heard of. That's at least 25%. of that top 20 list. So I'm not saying that it's likely to happen or unlikely to happen. I'm just saying that the idea of a guy being on a top 10 or top 15 or top 20 prospect list at one point of his career, eventually that goes away, right? I mean, eventually that shine is gone.
Right.
And you got to fight your way through the muck that is Major League Baseball. I mean, look at any first-round draft in the history of baseball. There's a bunch of nobodies on that list that nobody's ever heard of. So, look, I mean, if you want to say that you expect more out of him now because at one point in time he was a high prospect. I mean, Jesus Montero, for God's sakes, at one time was like a top 10 prospect in baseball and the best hitter in the Yankees minor league system, and he went bananas going after guys for throwing ice cream sandwiches at him in a minor league baseball game. So it happens a ton. I just think for the Mariners, really the question for me is, and because you've brought this up before, and I want to get some thoughts on this at 49451, and we may, by the way, have to hit up the Pit of Stupidity board and get their thoughts, the POS board, on where the blame falls for where we're at right now with Jared Kelenic. Do you blame the Mariners for bringing him up too fast? And you've talked about that before from your perspective. Do you blame Jared Kelenic for just simply put not being the player that we thought he was going to be? Do you blame the baseball gods? Maybe there's another option out there. Maybe it's just bad luck and it's just, hey, stuff happens, right? Crap happens. Some of these guys don't turn out to be what we all thought they were going to be. So I bring that up because I know, Dick, that you have been critical before of the way the Mariners have handled him and that maybe they caught him up a bit too early. They've put him now back down in the minor leagues for a second time, and this is, by the way, I believe the same day that he made his debut against the Indians last year with Logan Gilbert, right? So it's kind of ironic that it happened on this day, but why are we where we're at with Jared Kelenic? That's the question. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact is that he was 21 years of age when he got called up. And there are just not a lot of 21-year-olds in Major League Baseball. I bet you can count the number of 21-year-olds in Major League Baseball on two hands, maybe one hand. So unless you are sure, unless you are positive that this guy is absolutely ready and you're not bringing him up simply because either A, you need a bat because you've done a crappy job putting an offense together, or B, you're trying to excite the fan base. And remember how excited we all were when he came up. Everybody flocked to T-Mobile Park to see him play. Those are two terrible reasons to give a guy to get a guy up. The reason to pull a guy up is when you are absolutely sure that he has torn up every bit of pitching he can tear up prior to the major league level. And he did not get a chance to do that. He played one stinking week in Tacoma before they pulled him up.
But didn't he have how many AAA at bats did he have? 143 plate appearances in AAA total.
That's almost nothing.
203 games overall in the minor leagues. And I don't know. I mean, the 21-year-old thing for me is fine. You know, he's not 18, he's not 23, but he's also not 18 years old. I mean, 21, if he's ready to go and the Mariners feel like he's, you know, dominating, you know, minor league pitching, then whatever.
But they didn't give him a chance to dominate minor league pitching. I mean, at least at the AAA level. You said it right there. He had 200 plate appearances.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's unusual these days. That's the point. And we talked to Boone about that, last week? We asked him. I mean, back in the day, yeah, absolutely. Like Brett Boone had like 1,000 games in the minor leagues. I mean, I think it's changed a little bit, you know, and maybe it's time, your point, baseball to go back to something like that. I don't know if 200 games in the minor leagues when you're 21 years old is really that obnoxious. And to bring him up, I just don't know, and I appreciate your perspective. I don't know if I agree with it. I also don't know if I disagree with it. I don't know if I'm ready to say that the Mariners brought him up too early.
Okay.
I mean, they could have given him another 100 games in AAA or another 50 games in AA and 50 more in AAA, and we may be right back in the same spot that we're at right now. I mean, he may not just be able to handle major league pitching. End of story. He may not be able to handle the spotlight. He may not be able to handle the pressure. All these things totally change for these guys. And I don't know if I would say that Jared Kelenic is cocky. I was having a conversation with an ex-major leaguer this morning who said he might be a little more insecure than cocky and maybe needing those moments to thrive in to kind of feed maybe his confidence level. So you may be wrong. You may be right. I mean, I don't remember. I'll just say this. When they brought him up, I don't remember thinking, this is crazy. This guy's way too young to be in a major league uniform. Maybe you had that take and I missed it, but I don't remember thinking that. But again, Dick, they could have seasoned him maybe a little bit more, and he may have been in the same damn spot he's at right now.
Heck, honestly, I would have liked to have seen Julio start in the minor leagues this year. I really would have. I would have liked to have seen Julio. Now, Julio's just a better player than Jared Kelenic. I think we all know that, and he was a better prospect than Jared Kelenic. I went up and looked at Kelenic. Kelenic was 11th. In baseball in 2020. That's as high as he got as a prospect. He was 11th to 20. That's a pretty elite prospect. But I would have liked to see Julio Rodriguez at least get up, play some minor league baseball a month, 2 months before throwing him into the big tank. Now, he was able to weather the storm in the first month and
so far,
come out of it because he was bad in April. Let's face it. Now, he had lot of help by the umpires. That was part of the reason he was bad. But he's torn it up in May, and Julio might just be one of those guys that is just so uber-talented that no matter what you do, no matter how you try to screw him up, he's not going to get screwed up.
Right. Well, and again, that may be the case. I think he's obviously more polished than Jared Kelenic is. He's a five-tool guy. There's no doubt about that. And Julio Rodriguez just looks like a different player than Jared Kelenic does, because Jared Kelenic looks like a guy that is just kind of swimming around his head at the plate. I mean, he's playing great defense. I mean, DePoto the other day even said he's one of the best outfielders in baseball, for God's sakes, defensively, and he's exactly right. I mean, the ground the guy covers is insane, you know, going from center to right field and making that transition. I think he's a corner outfielder. If there is one criticism I would have of the Mariners when it comes to Jared Kelenic, is I would just say, and you mentioned this the other day, with, I think, the batting order, where they have guys moving around all over the place. Like, why isn't Jess Winker hitting leadoff? You know, why are guys making all these different moves? Give him a damn position. Like, what is he? Is he a left fielder? Mm-hmm. Is he a right fielder? Is he a DH? Is he a center fielder? I don't think he's a center fielder. I've told you for months, I think he's a corner outfielder, probably a left fielder. So let's keep him there, right? Yeah. I mean, the guy's, you know, fragile enough at the plate, and now we're moving him around all over the outfield, all these different spots in some ways because you have no choice because guys got banged up. Kyle Lewis getting banged up, I think, threw this guy off his game a little bit, right? Because now instead of playing left field, he's playing center field where Kyle Lewis is supposed to be, and now Julio Rodriguez is there where he may be a right fielder down the road. So I would love to see, and some of this is just crappy bad luck because guys got banged up. Right, guys got hurt, and they had no choice but to move guys around. But I think everything, and I said this about Kelenic, I said this about Rodriguez, I said it about Kyle Lewis, about Zunino, Ackley, anybody, any young player the Mariners have ever had. You bring a guy up like that, and you better be prepared to do what's right for him.
Yes.
To make sure he gets off to the proper start. And I think moving these guys around all over the place defensively sometimes messes with their brains, dude. I don't like having Jared Kelenic even be a freaking DH. Yep. Because then he sits there in the freaking dugout for an hour thinking about his next horrible at-bat that's about to come in the next 45 to 60 minutes. So if there is one criticism, that's it. I don't remember thinking big time that they were rushing him, though, like you were.
Not only defensively, but what Booney talked about it yesterday, offensively, he's like, get some guys in the lineup in the same spot. He goes, I want to come to the ballpark knowing, A, I'm going to play, and B, knowing exactly where I'm going to hit in the lineup before
Every
I even
day.
See the lineup card.
Every
and
day.
They, right. It is just, that lineup card has been a mess for Scott Servais this year, and it just obviously is searching. You know, one thing that Baseball Reference, back to Kelenic, one thing Baseball Reference does that I think is very interesting is puts the age difference that the player is compared to the average age at that level.
Right.
And Jared Kelenic in 2019 played in single A-plus ball, double A ball, and he was 2.5 years younger than the average A player. He was 3.5 years younger than the average high A player. He was 5 years younger than the average double A player. And then he goes to Tacoma in 2021, and he's almost 6 years younger than the average player in Tacoma. He gets to Seattle, and he's 7 years younger than the average. So it's just like, it wasn't staggered at all with his age, where you would think that a lot of guys would be, you know, as they move up, they're about the same as the average player moving up. And that is just tells me that he was just pushed up so much faster than most guys.
Well, I mean, again, they obviously thought he was ready, right? I mean, there's no way they're bringing him up and saying to each other, this guy's not ready, but bring him up anyway, right? Now, again, there's another part of this with Jared Kelenic, and I've said this on the air before, but a tweeter Not a text or a tweeter.
Different
type of approach there. Reminded me that, you know, there was the whole service manipulation thing with comments that were made by Kevin Mather a while back, and I felt like that kind of pissed him off, and that pissed off his agent, right? And I think maybe that was a little bit of a kick in the pants for Kelenic that, hey, look, this came out publicly. Here's what we're going to do to prove to you that it's all nonsense. We're going to bring you up maybe even a little bit faster. Look, I'm sure if you could go to Jerry DePoto and get some truth serum now, you'd say, hey, would you have liked to have left him in the minor leagues for maybe another 500 ABs? I think you'd probably say at this point, yes, but if you went to Jerry DePoto 2 years ago, back in time, and got into a time machine and said, hey, do you feel like he's ready to go right now? I think Jerry, as an ex-player, would say yes. He's ready to go.
And I think the pressure's going to be off him now whenever he does come back up, because the pressure was on him when he came up first.
Right.
The pressure was on him when he came up second.
I agree with that.
And then now, I think Mariner fans are done with him. I think most Mariner fans are like, whatever, dude, stay down there. If and when you ever get back up, then we'll play the Will C game. But I'm not going to go buy a ticket to watch Jared Kelenic's debut on July 14th.
Well, of course, because that's already come and gone. That was against the Indians last year.
No,
that
I mean his his comeback. Okay, has Jared Kelenic figured it out?
Of course not. Of course not. The guy's a 140 hitter. I mean, why would anybody go buy a ticket to go watch a 140 hitter? Now, the one game that we went and bought tickets for, Jackson and I were there, was the Indian game last year when him and Logan Gilbert came up. But absolutely, I agree, the pressure's off him. Hell, if the guy shows up and hits 250 over the last 2 months of the regular season, people are going to look at that as a major freaking upgrade out of this kid. But it was funny the way you said it there. There was almost like a little bit of a disgusting tone, like you were upset with this guy. You said, screw this guy, whatever, dude.
I'm speaking about a bad guy, or a cocky guy, or arrogant, or something? I didn't say any of that
I believe
Mariner fans are done with Jared Kelenic hype, and whatever happens from here on out.
I totally agree. Yes. No, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because I was speaking on behalf of Mariner fans in general.
I thought you were talking about the guy, like they're just done with him.
No, but when you said
the hype, yeah, I mean, there is no hype. I mean, the hype train is...
It left the station long ago.
It fell off a cliff. Are you kidding me? I mean, left the station and exploded 5 minutes after it left the station. There is no hype for Jared Kelenic anymore. We're going to break. Speaking of pressure, who's got more pressure on Monday Night Football in the opener, Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks? We'll come back and discuss that next on Softy and Dick, live from the Emerald Queen Casino, and we'll tell you how you can win $250 to VenueKings.com next as well, right here on 93.3 KJR FM.
Hear us anywhere, anytime, on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, live here at the Emerald Queen Casino, the MGM Sportsbook is hopping, baby. We are inside the Sportsbook right between the betting window and the bar, which is a beautiful place to be, my friend.
Perfect.
Beautiful, beautiful place to be. So we're hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Paul Klees, columnist in Denver, is going to join us at 5 o'clock and talk about the reaction yesterday to the Broncos and Russell Wilson coming to Seattle for the opener. By the way, we have put the Jared Kelenic Dick question to the Pit of Stupidity board.
Okay.
Getting their thoughts. Thank you.
Stupidity.
How is the question worded?
Who do you blame more for Jared Kelenic's struggles? Jared Kelenic or the Mariners? End of story. Is this on them for bringing him up too fast? And there's obviously branches to that tree. Or do you kind of put this more on Jared Kelenic for maybe just not being the player that, you know, we thought he could be? It doesn't mean he's not trying hard or busting his ass to be that guy. But is it more a Jared Kelenic problem? Or did the Mariners leave some meat on the bone there, as you say, because they brought him up, in your opinion, a little bit too early? So we're waiting for the decision from the board.
We are winning for the decision.
On that, we'll get that to you in a matter of moments. But I heard this driving in today. And it may have been Jerry Brewer or Jeremy Brewer, as somebody referred to him on the text line.
It may have been Puck,
and it may have been Jim Moore. I got to be honest with you, it could have been Ashley or Chuck Pell. I've been listening all day long, and I'm freaking loopy.
Well,
so
Jerry's very soothing to listen to, isn't
very
he?
Soothing.
I mean, he's just the voice of reason. He just never gets too high, and you just relaxed when you listen to him.
Kind of like the opposite of us.
Absolutely, yeah.
We put people to sleep with our opinions and our takes. He puts people to sleep with the sound of his voice. Man, you know what? I want Jerry Brewer to... Jerry Brewer should make an app where it's him just like reading bedtime stories to your kids.
Oh.
And instead of you being there, You can go downstairs and watch the game and have a cold one, and you can just stick that phone next to your daughter's head and call it a day.
I bet Jerry doesn't have to read to his kids more than 30 seconds and they're gone.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They're just out. Well, anyway, big thanks to Jerry Brewer for coming down. So I heard somebody today, here's the point. Somebody today brought it up on the air that there's way more pressure on Russell Wilson in this game against the Seahawks on Monday night. And so I got to thinking, who's got the most pressure between both sides of the ball, whether the Seahawks side or the Broncos side? And then really, is there any pressure on the Seahawks in this game against Russell Wilson? Because to me, whatever happens, you can paint it as a positive for the Seahawks, right? For example, if Russell Wilson comes in here and rips up the Seahawks in week one, well, he's supposed to, right? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's on a playoff caliber team. The Hawks stink. They're going down their toilet in a rebuild. They're not going to be very good. A lot of folks, the over-under is what, 5.5 on them in Vegas or something like that? Vegas thinks they'll be terrible. Hey, no harm, no foul. They're supposed to be bad. We're just one step further to a top five pick in the NFL draft. But if they win that game and they beat Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson plays like crap on Monday Night Football in the opener, I think he walks it back home to Denver with his freaking tail between his legs, and that's almost borderline embarrassing for Russell Wilson, for a guy that forced his way out of here and then shows up as a member of his new team and gets drilled on national TV in the opener on Monday night. That's almost like worst-case scenario for his ego, pal.
He had demands. He decided to leave the relationship, and I think, you know, 99 times out of 100 when you have though that particular scenario, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's in a football relationship, the pressure's on the person with the demands and the one that leaves the relationship to make it look really damn good after the fact.
I mean, is there any pressure? Can we think of any reason why there'd be any pressure on the Seahawks? I mean, I guess, you know, some would say, like Mike Holmgren has said before, that, hey, he would have kept him for another year, you know. No matter what he wanted, the hell with him. You're not going anywhere.
I agree with Mike.
I'm getting rid of you. So Mike says, you say that they should have kept him for one more year, and they just sort of said, you suck it up, whatever. So I guess you could argue that maybe the Hawks could have done that. Maybe that because of that, if he comes in here and looks phenomenal. Maybe the reason why there's some pressure on the Seahawks' dick would be more for this reason, that if Nathaniel Hackett lets Russell Wilson do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And he comes in here and goes 40 of 48 for 420 and five touchdowns and then runs for another 60 more. All the people out there that have been barking and moaning about not letting Russ cook are going to say, you see that? That's what a real coach does. That's what a coach that knows what he's got at quarterback does with Russell Wilson. And this freaking dinosaur doesn't have any idea what he's doing, and he just showed the world what would have happened if he had a competent head coach that would have let him cook.
You know
you're going to hear that.
You are, and I think the pressure more so on Pete, it would be more season-long than just one individual game, but you're right. If the game turns out like that,
right,
that looks horrible for Pete Carroll. I mean, that is, you want to paint worst-case scenario. I mean, earlier today, Jerry painted best-case scenario.
You mean Jeremy?
Yeah. Jeremy painted best-case scenario, which, and I agree with him, it was a little bit different than your scenario, because your scenario was, you know, goes out with an injury, whereas Jerry's best-case scenario was he gets sacked 9 times and has to pick his butt up 9 times and get back in the huddle 9 different times and lose a close, low-scoring game. The opposite of that is the picture you just painted, where it is clear that the reason the Broncos killed the Seahawks is because of number 3.
Right. And you know what's funny? You mentioned the injury thing. And look, I mean, I had somebody tweet me the other day, say, rooting for injury for players? I was like, dude, first of all, there's a reason behind giving the guy a little hammy pull that he has to deal with for the entire year and breaking a guy's leg, right? Nobody's talking about that, all right? Because I think you got to be a scumbag to root for something like that. It has bad karma, right? I don't believe, for the most part, in things like that, but I believe in it enough to not root for a guy to have an injury like that. So I'll just leave it at that. But if Russell Wilson, you know, if the week before the game, it's, I don't know who Denver's last preseason game is. He won't play in that game anyway.
Right.
But let's say it's week 2 of the preseason and he pulls a little groin. And he's dealing with it, and he's on the injury report. Okay, whatever, fine. I mean, if I would have told you before Super Bowl 49 that Tom Brady pulled his groin the night before against the Seahawks, you'd say, okay,
fine.
Good.
Do you think the Patriot fans are happy or unhappy that Jeremy Lane and Cliff Avril went out in
the Super
Bowl?
They won the damn game. course they're happy. I mean, come on. I mean, this is you know, warfare, right, at the football level. I mean, it's not warfare in real life, but it's warfare at the football level. Yep. So I totally get that. But I think Jerry's point about best-case scenario, and you think about the cluster chicken that would ensue in Denver if something like that happened, because the guy's, what, 2 years away until his free agent year, so yeah. Probably get, you know, maybe some contract talk going.
Oh,
next
I think
off-season.
He'll sign next offseason, don't you?
He has to. I mean, yeah. After what they traded for him. Hey, yeah. If the Seahawks had no choice but to sign Jamal Adams after what they gave up, Denver's got no choice but to sign Russell Wilson, because they gave up more than the Seahawks did for Jamal Adams. And I'm painting this picture in my brain where Russell Wilson looks terrible in that game. Throws four picks. Ugh. Gets sacked a bunch of times.
He looks like he does in the Packer NFC Championship game
until
the end.
2 minutes, yep. Right, exactly. Yep. Just looks terrible. And they're like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? What the hell are we going to do with this guy? And what if he plays that way the entire year? I mean, he's not going to, but what if he doesn't look worthy of an extension? What if he looks 34? What if he doesn't look great? And all of a sudden, there's this big conundrum. We got no choice. We have to sign the guy. So I think that's what's going to make that game fun. I was talking to Hugh about this, too, off the air, Dick, before the show today. And he made the point that, look, if you're going to play the Broncos and Russell Wilson in Seattle, you may as well do it in week one.
Yeah.
Because he still has to develop chemistry with these guys. And you would think if there is chemistry developed, if there is a connection between him and guys like Jerry Jeudy, that would come later in the year, right? They're going to be at their best later in the year. So get them early in the year when they're not maybe on the same page yet and they're still working some kinks out. Maybe you can take advantage of that.
I think so. And, you know, if you look at the Broncos schedule, and this is really the first time that I've done it. I mean, the Broncos are going into December. The Broncos are going to have a really good record. I mean, they have a crap schedule leading up to December the 1st. But
yeah.
They close with Ravens,
ooh.
Chiefs,
oh.
Cardinals,
ah.
Rams,
ooh.
Chiefs again,
oh.
Chargers.
Oh.
That is their closing seven games or six games
oh.
of the season.
Oh.
I mean, that's a 2-4, potentially 1-5 stretch that Russ is going to have to deal with.
I mean, I do think... And we do every now and then get texts and emails and tweets from people that say, why are you talking so much about Russell Wilson? Well, we talked about Griffey when he took off,
sure.
Right? We talked about Gary Payton when he took off. Anytime you have a star that's been here for a long, long time and they eventually leave, there's kind of a grace period where it's a novelty still that the guy's not with you and you follow him and you see what's going on with him. I think this year is going to be about a lot of stuff. And one of them is going to just be following him and just see how he does, right? And if he looks terrible, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Dick, there's going to be a little schadenfreude on my part from my perspective if Russell Wilson looks awful. You know, it'll help the Seahawks draft pick chances out next year, and I think it'll be a little kind of, you know, I told you.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that's the best way to go about doing things? You think leaving Pete Carroll and John Schneider is the best thing for you? You think going to a pass-happy offense is the best thing for you? You're getting sacked more than you've ever been sacked, and you're hurt now. Because you're getting sacked and you're throwing the ball. So there's going to be a little bit of that for me, I think, throughout the entire 2022 season to see what this guy does. Hey, real quick, we did it yesterday. We'll do it again today. My friend Anthony Beirutti at VenueKings.com looked inside of his couch cushions and found another $250 gift card
wow.
to give away.
I wish those were in my couch cushions.
Exactly, right. So he'll join us at 5:45 tonight and talk about the market for all these games. But if you want to win a $250 VenueKings gift card, all you got to do is jump on the webpage, on the website. What's the website again, Dick?
933KJR.com.
Go to the Softy and Dick page and grab the VenueKings.com quote for the card. Between now and 7 o'clock at some time today, I will call for the 93rd caller. And if you're that person, you know the quote for the card from the website, you will win.
I want to win!
$250 gift card to VenueKings.com to spend on whatever the hell you want. Fun with audio coming up 4 o'clock. Paul Klees from Denver will join us coming up at 5 o'clock. Can we talk a little NBA basketball?
Oh,
is that allowed on this show?
I didn't think you'd
I'm
ever
sitting
ask.
Here wanting to talk NBA. You keep telling me nobody cares. I don't want to do it.
Wow.
We'll talk some NBA playoff basketball. Do we have a champion? Is there an obvious champion of the teams left in the tournament? I want to know who it is, and then when you give it to me, Dick, I'm going to turn around and go right to the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and put all of your life savings on it for me. We'll come back with that next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, don't forget, head over to, what's the website again there, Dick Fain?
933KJR.com, Dave.
933KJR.com is the website. Go to the Softy and Dick page, get the VenueKings.com quote for the card quote of the day. That's today, by the way, not yesterday. Yesterday was different. Today is a new one. So jump to the website, 933KJR.com. Go to the Softy and Dick page. It's on our Twitter account as well. If you don't know how to navigate yourself through the internet, then just go right to Twitter and click on the link there. Get the VenueKings.com quote for the card quote of the day. At some point between now and 7 o'clock, we'll call for the 93rd caller. And by the way, I can confirm, because I saw it with my own eyes, Jackson Feltz did hang up and say goodbye to 92 people yesterday. Before he got to the 93rd winner. I saw him
working
the phones, baby, like a freaking maestro.
He could be an FM DJ, Jackson.
Fast. Unbelievable, man. Just really, you know what, Dick? Put your hands together. Really good job out of Jackson Feltz. Hey, did you make it home safe last night, by the way, big fella?
I thankfully, I was able to take a nap here back at the station, and all is well, and
nap.
Got home safe. So, a veteran move, apparently.
There's always that one guy that's sleeping at the radio station.
That's Jackson.
And it was him
last night. Jackson, yes.
It's always that one.
It's the first time and only time I've done it.
Sleeping in the hallway of the radio station.
We have a couch.
Jackson had more tequila in him than the city of Tijuana last night.
That was good.
With that thing. Glad to hear that you made it home safe, by the way. But we're waiting for the decision from the POS board on our Kelnick Mariner question on that. Who do you blame more for his situation, Jared Kelnick himself, or maybe the Mariners for the position they put him in? But anyway, you want to win that gift card, jump on the website, 933KJR.com. Get the quote for the card from VenueKings.com. And at some point today, we'll call for the 93rd caller, and that person will win, if they know the quote for the card from VenueKings, $250 to use at VenueKings.com. So we're at the Emerald Queen Casino. I'm not sure if you can see that or not, Dick Fain, but those are the current odds to win the NBA championship.
Okay, there you go. Freezer right there.
At the Emerald Queen Casino.
Yeah.
And I want to know out of you. So you got seven teams left, right? Phoenix, Dallas, Milwaukee, Boston,
yeah.
Memphis, Golden State, and Miami. Is there an obvious champion in those seven teams? Because here's the deal. I'll just tell you right now, because I got to turn this around so I can see it, by the way. The prohibitive favorite is Golden State at plus 220. Phoenix is plus 280. Miami is plus 400. Milwaukee is plus 450. Who's next? The Boston Celtics are plus 1,000, Dallas plus 2,000, and if you're feeling lucky, punk, Memphis is plus 5,000 to win the NBA championship for right now. So we want to know, who is Dick putting his life savings on? If he's wrong about this, then his kids will never go to school. They'll never, ever be able to realize their dreams because Daddy blew all the cash at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook on the NBA champion in 2022. We can go for the favorite and play it safe, or we can maybe try to play a combination of the odds and the long shot, try to make some money. What do you think?
Well, two separate questions. One, is there an obvious winner?
Yes.
I would say no.
I agree with that, by the
way. Yep. I do think that the top team on the board, the Golden State Warriors, probably have the best chance. I think they're appropriately picked as number one.
220, yep.
But when you're betting, you kind of also want to look at value, right? And now the value is not quite where it was a couple of days ago,
right?
When Milwaukee was 800, plus 800. But still at plus 450,
yeah.
You're getting the defending champs who are up 3-2 on Boston right now. I think Boston probably... I've always said that this is going to go seven games, so I'm going to stick with it. So that means Boston's got to upset Milwaukee and Milwaukee in order for that to happen. But I think Milwaukee, they're going to get Chris Middleton back at some point in the next series. I like them at 450, saying that I think there's a better than, you know, the odds are saying that Golden State has twice as good a chance to win the championship as Milwaukee.
That's exactly
and I don't
right.
think I don't
Correct.
Think that's the case because I think Golden State actually has a harder matchup in the finals against Phoenix than Milwaukee does against Miami.
Oh, totally. I absolutely agree with that. And you're right about Boston. If they're going to win, they got to win tonight in Milwaukee.
They've
got to win Game 6 and then take it back to Game 7 in Boston where Milwaukee already won. I mean, they fell apart in game 5, the Celtics did. They were up, you know, what, 9? Is that right? Going into the fourth quarter? quarter, and they got outscored by 12 points and lost by three. And I just think I've noticed this, and I'll be totally honest with you, Dave. I've noticed it more in the last couple of years when sports gambling and talk about sports gambling became a lot more prevalent and a lot more mainstream. The Milwaukee Bucks are an unbelievable fourth quarter team. It is crazy.
It's nuts.
They treat the fourth quarter of NBA basketball games like most players just treat the playoffs versus the regular season. It's almost like they don't even care until the fourth quarter comes around, and then they just explode in the fourth quarter. So no lead is safe, man. If you're playing Milwaukee, I'm telling you, you could be up 10, 11 points, 12 points in the fourth quarter, and these guys still find a way to pull it off. They are unbelievable in the fourth quarter.
They are, and I think this continues to be a chalky playoffs. It's been a very interesting playoffs, a very close playoffs, but it's been very chalky. There has not been one underdog win a series yet in the entire playoffs. And, you know, Memphis is a seed favorite over Golden State, but Memphis wasn't the favorite in the series to beat Golden State, so that's going to go the favorite. Phoenix is going to win. I think they're going to win Game 7. That's going to be the favorite. Miami's the favorite. They've already won. And Milwaukee, I believe, going into the series, Milwaukee was a slight favorite on Boston, but I'm not quite sure about that, but I think they were as the three over the two. Yeah. I think the chalk continues this round.
So you say you want to go Milwaukee?
I'm going to go Milwaukee against Golden State in the finals, okay. But I mean, you're
putting
giving
your money
me
on somebody. You're taking the Bucks. You're taking the Bucks.
Yeah, for the value, yes.
Right.
But gun to my head,
yep.
If I got to pick Golden State or Milwaukee in the finals, gun to my head, no odds. I would think Golden State would win. They're just not twice as good as Milwaukee, as the odds say.
Well, it just depends on how much risk you want to assign to this whole thing, right? Do you feel like maybe taking a little more risk and maybe going after the big prize versus going after the easy prize, which is Golden State at plus 220? And you're right, the odds are more than double for the Bucks. So that's the odds right now at the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook. Milwaukee's plus 450, Golden State plus 220, Phoenix plus 280, Dallas is plus 2,000, Miami plus 400, Boston plus 1,000, and Memphis is plus 5,000 to win the NBA championship here at the Emerald Queen Sportsbook, which is open now. If you haven't been here, you're making a serious mistake. Again, get to the website, 933kjr.com. Check out the Softy and Dick page. Get the VenueKings.com quote for the card, quote of the day. And at some point today, between now and 7 o'clock, we'll call for the 93rd caller at 286-9595. If you know the quote and you're number 93, you're going to win $250 to VenueKings.com to spend that on whatever the hell you damn will please. Fun with audio, baby. Let's get to it. Coming next on a busy Friday from the Emerald Queen Casino right here on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.